always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Officials in Gaza report a third day of violence with at least 27 Palestinians killed on their way to a food distribution site. Reporter Linda Gradstein with Israel's response.
The army said the troops fired warning shots and, after they did not disperse, carried out additional fire next to several suspects. Hamas says dozens of Palestinians were killed, although that could not be verified.
The Egyptian man accused of throwing homemade firebombs at a group in Boulder, Colorado, supporting Israeli hostages, is now facing a federal hate crimes charge. CBS's Anna Schechter.
What they lay out is a very cold-blooded, calculated series of plans that he carried out to a T until the end.
Millions of Americans under air quality alerts as wind continues to carry smoke into the U.S. from Canadian wildfires. CBS Minnesota's Chris Schaefer.
Air quality alert, it's widespread. It goes until about lunchtime on Wednesday before we see some improvement.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. In a story we've been following, the National Weather Service is facing severe staffing shortages, and none of its Wisconsin offices currently have a chief meteorologist on staff. Savannah Tolmay Olson has the latest.
Earlier this year, Elon Musk and the Department of Government Efficiency cut or offered an approved early retirement to more than 500 employees of the National Weather Service, which monitors our severe weather, issues warnings, and surveys emergencies. And now, 30 NWS offices across the nation are without a chief meteorologist, including all of the ones here in Wisconsin. The state is covered by five NWS posts. Green Bay, Milwaukee, and La Crosse are based here, and the northwestern Wisconsin is covered by two offices in Minnesota. But neither Green Bay nor Milwaukee nor La Crosse have a chief meteorologist in charge right now. The Green Bay office had been launching weather balloons twice a day for about 80 years. Those balloons go up and collect data that can help create more accurate forecasts. Because of cuts from the Trump administration, the Green Bay Post had to cut half their launches, and now they only do one per day. At least six offices in the country have had to suspend all overnight operations, meaning they're not properly staffed if there's any sort of severe weather event overnight. Now, according to reporting from CNN, the National Weather Service is about to hire about 125 new meteorologists and specialists. It's the start of hurricane season, which is expected to be more active than normal. And here at home, it's severe weather season. We've already had 22 tornadoes hit Wisconsin in 2025. On average, we usually only get 23 in a whole year. And June is the peak month for tornado activity here in Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for being here, everybody. We got a fun show lined up for you, everybody. We're going to be getting in some good stuff in just a little bit. We get the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to diving into that. Got a new term to get into, water-based cooking.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Back to basics. Got it.
Or in other words, the only cooking my mother feels I'm safe to do. Then a little bit later, seven money saving hacks that may not be actual hacks. They may not actually save you that much. We'll get into that. Got some entertainment news for you. And also going on in the 10 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by our friend Jim Benna, district administrator with the Port Edward School District. We're going to talk about their 19th annual Black Hawk Golf Scramble coming up.
Ooh, yeah.
We'll touch on that. We also got a couple of other good ones lined up for you here that I want to get into. And some other fun stuff. We'll get you caught up on our schedule here at the station as well, and remind you about our awesome contest we have going up and down the state, Scani Summer Text to Win Contest.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff. All that stuff going on. But I did want to start right here because it is National Egg Day, Melissa, as we get into our National Egg Day. And it's a honorary court of holiday, but now that eggs have become one of our most precious, valuable commodities, there's been some different surveys and polls that have been going on about them. And here are some egg-related fun from our friends at the internet.
Egg-related fun. That's not a thing I ever thought I'd hear.
No. And I don't always associate fun in the internet, but yeah. A poll asked, when you buy eggs, do you generally buy white or brown eggs? 67% of people said white eggs, 20% said brown.
Well, brown are typically more expensive because more often they're like the, you know, cage-free or free-range, but I usually buy brown.
Thank you for that, Melissa, because I knew, but I don't think the audience knew the difference between white and brown, and I did not know what the difference... I wasn't 100%. I wasn't 100% on that.
Way to out yourself, James.
That's between us. That's between us. That's A poll asked, how do you prefer your eggs cooked? 46% of people said scrambled, 25% said fried, 7% said hard-boiled, 6% poached, and 4% soft-boiled.
It depends on how you're having them.
Yeah.
I like all of those ways with, you know, different meals. I had mine fried hard this morning on bread.
Nice.
Like toast, actually. Sourdough toast. Ketchup.
As a side note.
Favorite.
Well done. How often do you eat eggs?
Well, right now, not as often as we did. There was a, and I mean, it's not even really because they're super expensive. It's just I don't know. Maybe it's an unconscious thing. But I go in phases with eggs. Like I will have eggs every single morning for 3 months, and then I'll go 3 months without eating eggs for breakfast.
Very similar, yeah. And I only thought of this because what you were saying before. I'm similar. I like like all these styles of eggs. Just depends on what I'm eating. If I got a sandwich, I want scrambled eggs. If I got time to eat my breakfast, give me sunny side up, and I can dip the bread and the egg and all and the yolk and everything. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh God, it's good.
Well, and if you have an eggs Benedict, you have to have poached. If you're doing any kind of like noodle, like an Asian noodle soup, then poached is really good. Or hard boiled, that works too. But if you want the runny yolk, honestly, right now, I just want to do everything fully cooked.
Yeah.
To be on the safe side, personally.
Seems like a good way to play it, yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say, too, and I don't know if I'm like this with other foods and I just don't realize it, but eggs are one of those things, if I want it, oh, I can't wait, I'm looking forward to it. If I have if I don't want eggs, it's like I've never eaten an egg in my life. Like, I just want, I don't
want to
you're
never going to have another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what it is. I'm just weird about it.
No, I fell asleep last night dreaming about because I had some sourdough bread left over, and I was dreaming about breakfast as I fell asleep.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Hard fry some eggs. I'm going to toast my sourdough and put some butter on there, and then I'm going to top it with ketchup.
That's awesome. That's great. A poll asked, how do you usually crack an egg? 57% of people said that they crack eggs on the edge of a bowl or pan, 23% said on a flat countertop, and 10% some other way.
My grandmother could crack eggs with one hand.
Ooh.
And I've tried it a couple times, and I can do it. I can't do it with 100% success, and I don't do it often enough to feel like I have to look cool and do it. And it's not like I'm, you know, holding a baby in the other arm that I need to do it one-handed. So...
I don't know if I could describe it, but my Nana was so good at it. I just learned from her this tap, and that's just what I've always done. I don't know if I'm 100%, but I'm pretty darn pretty high on the percentage on that one.
I always do it on like the edge of a counter or the edge of my stove. Ooh, I don't do it on the edge of my pan, because if you happen to have a little piece of the shell flake off, it always lands in the pan.
Yes. Yeah, it tell you 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And a poll asked, what came first, the chicken or the egg? 44% of people said the chicken, 32% said the egg, and 24% weren't sure.
That's okay.
That's very okay. Now, we have had a little science on this one over the years, and the correct answer is the egg, which beat chicken by a couple hundred million years, unless you're talking specifically about a chicken egg, and then it's murkier a little bit. Chickens likely evolved from a subspecies of red jungle fowl many thousands of years ago, and at some point around domestication, the last ancestor of the modern chickens would have laid an egg containing an embryo with enough genetic differences to be distinct. So the egg did come first.
But really what this question is it's a philosophical question asking whether you believe in evolution or that God created the earth in 7 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And the earth is 7,000 years old.
That wasn't...
Or some variation in there.
Yes, yes. And to each their own. I am not at all...
None of them are wrong, if that's what you believe.
Right. So when it comes to eggs, you know, did anybody get hungry for eggs from this? Because that's another thing that I was thinking is most of the time we're talking about food, and we're talking about these the special pancakes that El Cafe is making. Mm-hmm. I had no interest in pancakes before, or French toast. We were talking about their French toast.
Oh yeah, yeah, the banana bread French
yes.
toast.
Wasn't even thinking about it beforehand. Now it's the only thing my body wants. It's it. But I'm talking about eggs, and I have no interest. I have nothing. Unless I get an interest for eggs, I just don't really. They're one of those weird foods to me. I got to really be in the mood for it, I guess. And I like eggs. I really do. I like all kinds of eggs. This is one of those things I'm really not that picky about for once.
Wow. Red letter day, people.
Yep. Mark it down. What about a side? I think that my favorite way is there. That's what I wanted to say. Is there a favorite way for you to have eggs? I know that we were talking about you're in a certain mood for things, but to me, if I got to choose, I love eggs. Are the perfect thing for a sandwich to me. Like a breakfast sandwich.
For a breakfast sandwich, yep, it's got to have egg on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just think eggs are so versatile, and there's so much that you can do with them.
Yeah.
Since I already had eggs for breakfast, talking about eggs right now makes me hungry for my mom's potato salad, which has boiled eggs in it.
Huh.
But the way that she, and sorry if this grosses anybody out, but the way that she would make her potato salad, I don't know if she was always in a hurry or if she had four hungry kids to just get food in their face quickly. Mm. But we would, you know, boil the potatoes. And then before the potatoes were completely cooled, she'd be cutting them up and putting them in the bowl with chopped up hard-boiled eggs, which are also still a little warm. Usually celery, black olives, sometimes onion if Josh, for some reason, wasn't going to eat some. Because Josh hates onions at that point. I think he likes them now, but that's neither here nor there. But then when she would add the mayonnaise and the... or it's Miracle Whip. Not actually mayonnaise. Miracle Whip. Salt and pepper. A little bit of mustard. And then she'd mix it up. And the potatoes would kind of like almost mash as you're stirring it. So it'd be like this creamy, slightly warm... yummy, gooey goodness with eggs in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I'm hungry for.
Yeah, you know what? I would definitely eat that right now.
Really?
You sold
Even
it to me.
Mayonnaise in
you,
there?
You sold it to me.
No, wow.
You sold it. That I don't know what it was, but there was something about that description.
That's
all of a sudden,
amazing.
I wanted. Yeah,
that's amazing because you don't like mashed potatoes.
Nope. But there was something about that description that is like that. It just sounds so homey to me. It sounded so like you know, just I love a good
all
meal
right,
like
all
that.
All right. Well, and we cook out sometime. I'll bring
I'll
some.
Try
and
some.
You can try it.
Definitely. We got to do that again. Yeah, we got to look into.
Yeah, we should. Yeah. I don't have a grill, man. I got to go somewhere and steal somebody's grill.
And now that we're
steal it, borrow it.
We just have to get a team meeting together again because I know we got a couple of things we want to plan for this summer around here. So we'll have to do that soon. For now, one thing that we do have we're in the middle of right now is Civic Media Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest.
Oh yeah.
And you were listening in the 7 o'clock hour, so keep on listening, everybody, because coming up in the 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours, we're gonna have another opportunity for you to text us a keyword keyword through the Civic Media app and get in on the winning. Get your chance every hour, alternatively, to win $100 cash or a pair of Brewers Club level tickets. And all this for the grand prize. Two grand prize options for you. Baraboo Dells area trip, which I was just in Baraboo. God, I love that area. And Door County Getaway, beautiful this time of year. And we're paying for your gas to get there, by the way, too.
That is so awesome. That's four times per day to win, and then four times to get in on the grand prize, right?
Yep. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Be listening at the top of the 11 o'clock hour, everybody, and all you got to do is have that Civic Media app handy. And be free. Ready. Melissa and I will be back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show at WFHR.
Have you heard the saying, we may be small, but we are mighty? This is exactly what the team at El Cafe in Port Edwards is. A small Mexican restaurant with big, big flavor, now featuring an extended room. Are you having breakfast with your church group, book club, or networking group? El Cafe has all the room you need. Don't forget excellent coffee, food, and homemade pies. El Cafe in Port Edwards, a little Mexican restaurant with a big heart for the community. Have your next get-together at El Cafe.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our Windsurfing Regatta and Music Festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life.
You heard the boys. It's time to do some celebrating with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe today, everybody. Wish them a good one from all of us at WFHR. I
just want to celebrate, yeah, yeah.
Man, Melissa, they got some amazing specials over there, too, today.
Oh, they do. Is it the Southern Benedict?
Yeah.
Is that what I saw?
Okay, Country Benedict. Country Benedict.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's similar because it has the sausage gravy instead of the hollandaise, which, I mean, I'm a sucker for hollandaise, and I usually don't get the sausage gravy because it's got dairy in it, but every once in a while, I hate myself, and I eat sausage gravy.
You got these breakfast sliders right now that they're going for you as well. A little, some lasagna later, or chicken or beef stir fry. I mean,
I thought the breakfast sliders was a really awesome idea. I've never seen that, because sometimes you just can't choose what you want on your breakfast sandwich with egg. But these come with, you get one sausage, one bacon, and one ham mini breakfast sandwich. Sandwiches. Mm. Like all three. You don't even have to choose. You get them all. And it comes with egg and cheese, but no substitutions, please. You can add fruit or potato for $3 or avocado for $2. That's an awesome breakfast right there.
I appreciate you saying that, because I'd never heard of breakfast sliders before either, but I've already owned up to not knowing things today. I'm done with that. So I appreciate that. Head on over there today, everybody. Zeke and the boys are going to make some good food for you. Kimberly and Lawyer are holding things down in the front. Get on over there and say good morning to every one of them for us. We appreciate our friends at El Cafe. Hope they have a great start to the day over there.
And you will always have come out of there with a smile, if not because of the delicious food, because of the amazing people.
Yeah, yeah. You can't go wrong. And you don't even have to take our word for it. Head on over there. They're open right now, everybody. We appreciate them. And we appreciate you getting us your birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming. We love celebrating with you. Email us info@WFHR.com. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages, and you can call on up.
You can just dial 715-424-2600. That will connect you right to James there in the studio. So will the Civic Media app, and that's just a touch or two away because you don't even have to remember the number.
We appreciate you doing that, everybody. Keep getting us those birthdays and anniversaries. Melissa, I need a one or a two.
One. I really had to think about that for some reason. I don't know why. It wasn't that hard.
Great. That was awesome. No, that was good. First up, we wish a happy birthday to Civic Media's own Tony Zimmerman.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Tony.
Tony's great.
Yeah. A new dad. Dad. Yeah. They had another baby here recently. Cutie pie.
Congratulations. There's something special about having your birthday close to your one of your kids. That's a fun
and
one.
And I
that's
think there, it's a month or two away, but that's still close enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. Happy birthday, Tony, and enjoy your day. We also want to wish a happy birthday to Faith Peterson.
Ooh, happy birthday, Faith.
Faith got her birthday earlier today. She said she is a new listener, and we appreciate
nice.
That. Thanks, Faith.
Oh, yeah, happy birthday, that. Faith.
And our qualifiers celebrating their 31st anniversary, Roger and Pam Denis.
Oh, Roger and Pam, happy anniversary.
Wishing you guys a great anniversary. Enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one. 31, that's awesome. Happy. Congratulations, you two. And who do you share your birthdays and anniversaries with? Well, Rafael Nadal is 39 today. Tennis superstar. Beat Roger Federer 10 out of 14 times, and many people consider him one of the greatest of all time, Federer. Their final Wimbledon match in 2008 was one of the best I've ever seen. Nadal, along with this three-headed monster of Federer and Djokovic, just have been a great run of tennis here over the last 10, 15 years. And Rafael Nadal is also one of the weirder, not weirder, but just interesting looking athletes. He's a tennis star, and he's right-handed. His right arm is overwhelmingly bigger than his left arm. It's just kind of weird to look at sometimes at different points in his career, especially. But he is a very impressive athlete, and one of those guys that everybody seems to like. People love playing against, and even when you lose against him, he's a classy guy.
Mm, that's good.
Anderson Cooper is 58.
58.
I think of Anderson Cooper. I used to, I should say. I thought of him as one of the better up and coming journalists in the game, and really had a lot of high expectations for him with that. In recent years, and really in the last 10 years or so, he's done a lot more where he's become more of a reality star in some ways. And he does a lot of things that have nothing to do with the news. Like they have a very famous New Year's Eve celebration that him and Andy Cohen do. They have a great time with. He's done a lot more where we didn't used to know our journalists. We didn't, I didn't know who Dan Rather's favorite baseball team was. I didn't know who Walter Cronkite rooted for, who his favorite musician was, or some of these things. It's a different world now. We're getting to know people differently.
Because everybody's got their own social media that people follow, and you get to know them a little more as people.
Now, I think for years I have said I've been personally been a little disappointed in his career because I had such high expectations for him as a journalist. That's on me. That's not on him. It's his life. He can do what he wants. He's doing what his thing. I had this idea. I grew up, like many of us, with separating these things, these worlds of journalism and people and that. And that's just not the world we're in anymore.
And we also had people like Dan Rather and
Peter Jennings and Ted Koppel and
and some of the amazing women journalists whose names I can't remember.
Oh my gosh,
right now.
Barbara Walters Connie Chung, incredible journalists. Yeah, and that to me that's where the bar is. But maybe I have to adjust that. Maybe I have to not as far as what we're expecting, as far as facts and truth and good journalism and that line between the powers that be and the rest of us. That's the art. That is the work of journalism. But maybe I have to adjust not those expectations. I will never lower that bar. And I'm sorry to say this, but shame on anybody that does, because this is the line in the sand that we all need to respect and appreciate. That going back well before Walter Cronkite was the difference between us and them, the powers that be and the people that put them in charge. and so many other things as far as businesses and consumers and so many other things.
And making them accountable for their actions and their decisions.
He's at a time where he's at that crossroads where he's coming from the old school, but, you know, maneuvering into what is new. And, mm-hmm. you know, I just don't want to see the bar for journalism go down. I don't care if you want to be a reality star, all those things. It's just going to, you also have to take into consideration that's going to affect your journalism. That's going to affect the way people are going to look at your stories. Right. For better or worse. That could be good mm-hmm. and bad. Some stuff, it may be like, well, Anderson Cooper knows what he's talking about. He's been through this, this, and this. Other stuff, it may be like, well, he's coming at this from a different, you know, perspective and that. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, that's not what journalism is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about the story, the facts. I'm learning that as I'm trying to rewrite a Crane story, a news article, and all I keep doing is turning it into a story. I'm horrible.
Facts, James.
I'm a horrible
facts
journalist.
And short sentences.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. Yes. Denise Williams is 74. Let's hear it for the boy. It's going to take a miracle. And of course, the theme song to Family Ties, along with Johnny Mathis, she famously did. And then some people no longer with us, like the great, one of the greatest game show hosts of all time, Chuck Barris. TV genius behind The Dating Game, The Newlywed Game, The Gong Show, one of my favorite shows of all time. God, I loved The Gong Show growing up.
Oh, I never saw it.
Oh, my God, I love it.
Surprise to no one.
yeah. But, he was really good. You go back and watch any clips of Chuck Barris, and you'll be blown away that, one, they got away with half the stuff they did in the 70s. But also just...
The Newlywed Game, The Dating Game, like, those seemed, I don't know, weird to me.
Yeah.
I never saw him, but just the premise behind
just them. The premise, you know, and it's almost, I think, you know, at this point, especially, Melissa, I think it's almost better just having the premise. Just whatever is in your head is going to probably be better than whatever you look up. But I will say, if you get a chance to look up Chuck Barris, just even like a highlight thing of him or something, I think you'd be really blown away by just how mm-hmm. natural and how good he was at the gig. I wouldn't call him the best ever, but if somebody wanted to, I wouldn't fight him on it. That's how good I think he was at what he did. The great Tony Curtis, born on this day in 1925. Famously, of course, now most younger people in even our generation knows him as Jamie Lee Curtis's dad. But I was talking about the movie the other day, Some Like It Hot. Him, Jack Lemmon, Marilyn Monroe. It's one of the most perfect casts I've ever seen. And all three of them have moments in that movie where they steal a scene or they just blow things away. Tony Curtis is a wonderful actor.
Well, and he was also one of those like Hollywood heartthrobs at that time.
Yeah.
He had that look.
One of the few people that could pull off an ascot too. Like I don't know many people that could do that. Like you don't know. I couldn't. I couldn't do it.
Hmm.
Curtis Mayfield, born in this day, 1942, Superfly, a Pusher Man. So many great funky songs of the 70s and 80s, and even Curtis Mayfield had some health issues and put out an album when we were in high school that I really got into, and that's how I really got into Curtis Mayfield. Actually, it's really good. He did it with a lot of other artists and everything, modern artists. And stuff. It was a really good album. And that is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary club for today. But one more time, a happy birthday anniversary to everybody out there celebrating. Melissa and I cannot think of a better way to celebrate than with our friends at El Cafe.
You'll have a great meal, and you can always have a huge selection of pies. That's going to be your hardest decision of the day, is choosing just one.
We wish you luck. Goodwill and all that with that.
Have a piece for us.
Yes. And please do us a favor. Wish everybody a good morning from all of us at WFHR. Let them know that we are mention them and we appreciate them and enjoy some great food over at El Cafe. Melissa and I will be back. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about these. Where is that I had here? Oh, yeah, the water-based cooking. We got to get into that.
Okay.
Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR.
HR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two Wisconsin counties and two cities are among hundreds of local governments listed as sanctuary jurisdictions by the Trump administration. Joanne Krulutz reports.
Officials in Madison and Milwaukee said it's unclear what landed them on the Department of Homeland Security list. Both vote heavily Democratic and have significant immigrant communities, but neither has any sort of formal declaration as a sanctuary city. Dane County and Shawano County in northeastern Wisconsin are also on the list. The Shawnee County Administrator said its inclusion must have been a mistake. Shawnee County voted 67% for President Donald Trump in 2024. The list of more than 500 sanctuary jurisdictions no longer appears in the Department of Homeland Security's website after receiving criticism for including localities that have actively supported the Trump administration's hardline immigration policies. The department last week published the list of the jurisdictions. It said each one would receive formal notification that the government has deemed them uncooperative with federal immigration enforcement and whether they believe those jurisdictions to be in violation of any federal criminal statutes. The list was published Thursday on the department's website. By Sunday, there was a page not found error message in its place.
We're under an unhealthy air quality advisory that began around midnight and will continue until noon on Wednesday. Heavy surface smoke is moving into Wisconsin from the northwest. Air quality is unhealthy, and we could see spikes of very unhealthy as the front moves slowly from the northwest to southeast throughout the day. The DNR advises everyone to keep outdoor activities shorter and less intense. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers OTAs continue here at Lambeau Field. Anthony Belton is the Packers' second-round pick out of NC State, competing for a spot on the offensive line. I asked him if he's been more nervous or excited to be in the NFL.
It's a little bit of both, because, you know, you're nervous because, you know, you're in a new environment around people you're not really too familiar with. But also, it's like you're excited because this is what you've been wanting to do since you was a kid, a lifelong dream. You get a chance to keep playing the game you've been loving since a kid. It's a blessing. But you're going to be nervous at first a little bit.
Baseball, the Brewers and Reds series continues tonight in Cincinnati. Milwaukee winning 3-2 last night, thanks to another home run by Christian Yelich, named National League Player of the Week. Yelly, hit by a pitch Sunday, still managed to hit his sixth home run in the past 10 games.
He crushed two balls tonight that, you know, sore hand or not, he's living up to his Player of the Week, you know, outstanding.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Clint Eastwood is tired of sequels, franchises, and remakes. Join the club, bruh. The four-time Oscar winner is a spry 95 years old and says he misses the days when writers would hole up in a bungalow on a studio lot and churn out movies like Casablanca. The 95-year-old star of In the Line of Fire and the director of Juror No. 2 says he plans on working for a long time. Eastwood says he'll work as long as he can still learn something or until he is truly senile. 95, a sense of humor, still making movies, and he can probably take you. Here's one of Pete's picks. If you like good old-fashioned manhunts, check out American Manhunt, The Search for Osama Bin Laden. At first, I had no desire to relive 9/11, but watching it with my kids was an experience. The American Manhunt series, not to be confused with Manhunt, The Search for America's Most Gorgeous Male Model, includes two other mini-docs, The Search for O.J. Simpson and the Boston Marathon Bombing. All the series can be watched good old-fashioned binge-style on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Welcome back, everybody. Ha! On a good foot. A little James Brown to play us in. Hardest working man in show business. Mm-hmm. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. As we didn't intend to, but we have a food theme going this morning.
That's my kind of show.
Eggs to El Cafe to now one of the new cooking trends. And boy, you guys can't see that, but I am saying that with quotations. the latest cooking term going viral on TikTok is, quote, water-based cooking. And it is what it sounds like. One video shows a montage of things being boiled, steamed, and cooked as soups and stews with the caption, quote, you started water-based cooking and now your skin is clear, your stomach is thriving, and you can recover from illness overnight. Some claim that water-based methods like boiling, blanching, steaming, and poaching can reverse aging.
Okay.
Yeah. The idea is that the, quote, gentler cooking style avoids, quote, unhealthy techniques using oils and high heats like frying, sautéing, baking, air frying, and grilling, which is supposedly the worst. Naturally, cooking with water isn't groundbreaking.
It's not a new thing.
A lot of people in the comments are having fun with this one. Quote, Gen Z discovers soup.
That's so funny.
This is just everyday food, especially in Asian cultures.
Right.
I'm 2 days in and I'm already looking younger. I don't know what to do. Now, I do think that there's some of this that is coming from a good place or trying to, at least.
Maybe.
Anytime you're
coming. No, yes. It is trying to come from a good place of, hey, here's another alternative. Try this.
But so this reminds me, years and years ago, I can't remember if it was who the artist was, but it's a world famous artist, been around for like 20 years, big time hip hop artist. They're doing some award show and Sir Paul McCartney comes out and starts playing with this artist. And there was a ton of people on Twitter and all that saying, well, another time that this guy discovered this great guitar player. Because there was people out there, lots and lots of people out there, that had no idea who Paul McCartney was.
Right, yeah.
So they didn't discover Paul McCartney, obviously. They just, for them personally, they had just discovered Paul McCartney.
Right.
I feel like that's what's happening here or something. Yes. I at least that's the closest explanation I got as far as, so I've got this new way of cooking.
It involves... water.
Yeah. Now you're going to want to write this down, okay?
But actually, you know what? No, for real though, I recently discovered the beauty of like noodle soups or just kind of like soups in general with an Asian theme. And so this is a kind of a conversation that Laura and I had recently because she shared an article with me about like those food home delivery services that talks about whether or not it's economical. And the reason that they are economical is because you get all of the spices and the seasonings and the sauces that allow you to have a variety of like ethnicities of food. So if you have a one that comes with an Asian dish in it, it'll have the hoisin sauce and the oyster sauce and the fish sauce and the, you know, all those different sauces that you maybe don't keep in your fridge, or the same with like an Indian type dish. But what I've discovered is I just bought all of those ingredients for like Asian foods and I keep them in my fridge now. And I make so many Asian dishes that are so easy and that are really just water-based like soups. You make a broth, you add noodles and vegetables. Voila! A protein.
Very
interesting. They're awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very interesting. Hmm.
And I'm getting better at making like Asian sauce mixes. Just off the cuff without looking at a recipe because I've done it enough times. I kind of know what flavors go well together now. And then you can play with it a little bit, add some ginger sometime, decide to add like some garlic chili oils another time. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying soups in a different way than I did before.
Well, the only people not really suffering from the food prices and everything are politicians. The rest of us kind of certainly are dealing with that. So a lot of people are trying different techniques, different ways of cooking, maybe even just simpler ingredients and some of that.
Right.
What you're talking about
is cheap.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like a really not only practical and smart idea, but it sounds like a fun thing for your palate. Change it up a little bit.
Well, and I think that a lot of our like typical soups that we think of here in the Midwest are a little heavier, or you think of like comfort food in cold weather, you want soups. Asian soups aren't that way. They're lighter. They're, they're still hot because they're a soup, but they aren't like the heavy, comforting, warm stews or, you know, like other soups that we make, chili and, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd love to hear from everybody if they've tried this yet or if they're thinking of trying it. I'd love to hear from you, everybody. Feel free to reach out to us.
Or if you want recommendations on what sauces you need to have in your fridge to be able to make this happen, I can help you out.
Oh, that's a good one. You might be careful. You might create a new segment.
I'm okay with that. Bring it on.
I like this.
It's food related, dude.
A recent survey found that 31% of American adults hang on to old devices because they aren't sure what to do with the phones, video game consoles, laptops, cords, or other tech accessories that they no longer use.
I have that problem.
Melissa, I'm going to throw this out there, and I actually want to hear from the audience. I'm almost demanding to hear from the audience. Texting, calling, use the Civic Media app and tell me if you don't have a bunch of these items, like two or three of these items in your house, because I genuinely believe at this point in the game, everybody's got at least two laptops, a couple phones, a bunch of this. This is one of the newer problems that we're dealing with. Not new, but newer problems that we're dealing with here. 19% of people say that they do throw away old tech, probably not correctly.
That's the problem.
The garbage can doesn't count, everybody. That's not technically throwing it away. It's just giving it to another person for another problem. You're creating a problem not only for our planet, right. But you are creating a problem for yourself because you will get caught and you will get fined. If you don't believe me, go ahead and test it. You go right ahead.
Please don't.
But I mean,
we do have options. Look for e-recycling. We have events that happen. Portage County has one going all the time, and you can call them up and talk to them about bringing stuff in. So.
Yes, I was trying to find the data for our... Yeah, here it is. Clean Sweep coming
yes,
up.
Yes, yes, yes. Next one is in September. It's the 13th.
Yeah, September 13th, Saratoga Town Hall. We'll tell you more, but we'll, of course, be talking about that as we get closer to it.
I don't think that's e-recycling, though. That's like hazardous waste.
No, but some things that we can get rid of here. So 37% of people say that they like to trade in old electronics for an exchange or upgrade, and 25% try to sell their old tech. 30% say that they give away old devices to friends or family, whatever possible, and 17% have donated them to charity. I have to double check on this one, and I'm shame on me for not knowing. I know the Family Center for many years were taking in unused and old phones and sending them to a company that, there they would get the money
like
from
refurbish
that.
Refurbish them or, yeah.
So I know that that's something I've done in the past and others have as well. This is the new problem.
Some of us, like me, are worried about the information that's on that device. And if I can't access that information and get it off of there and know that it's gone, that's my worry. But I'm paranoid. So I'm sure there's other smarter people out there than me that can tell you, no, that's safe. That's fine. This is what you do.
I think that it's, and not only do I, not only is it a genuine concern, Melissa, but you're not alone on that. And I think that you bringing it up only gives more credence to the fact that this is a part of the reason why we're hanging on to these things, mm-hmm. and they're just taking up space and they're not really doing much for us. It's one of these things. Eventually, there's going to be a solution to this that we're all going to be like, well, why weren't we always doing this?
Right.
That's going to happen at some point.
Well, it's probably going to be an entrepreneurial type thing. Like somebody's going to go, I can turn this into a business. And they probably already have, and I just am not aware of it.
I know when I was a kid growing up, one of the ways, we needed a couple bucks or needed to help with something, you collect cans. You go around, you collect cans, and every city I ever lived in, and boy, have I lived in a lot of them, had a recycling plant. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just bring that back? Why don't we? I mean, there's got to be something like that around. I'm sure there is, and I'm just not realizing it. But
I think they're in third world countries, James.
I don't know. There's
a lot of heavy metals and like gold and different things that can be taken out of these electronic devices, basically mined from these electronic devices. Mm-hmm. But it's labor intensive work that's nitpicky and not safe. And so we don't necessarily.
Yeah.
That's at least what I understand about it. And please take my word with a grain of salt because I don't actually know.
Well, and it's one that we all should look into more. And we could all do a lot better knowing more about it. Mm-hmm. Because this stuff is, there's no sweeping it under the rug. None of this stuff. Matter what we're talking about, plastics or we're talking about electronics, you can go ahead and think you're just, this is a problem for somebody else or whatever. Nope, that's not how the world works anymore. We're dealing with these problems currently.
Right. And I'm just keeping my old devices and they're not really, I'm carrying them from place to place as I move. It's not really taking up that much space in my life. Once I die, what's going to happen to it? It's mm-hmm. still a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like not only coming up with an idea of what to do with these things and everything, but I always look forward to the ideas before that. Should we be having more like games with these, like old laptops where we use them for lawn games or something? I don't know.
Lawn games?
I don't know. I'm trying to think of something else to do with this stuff.
Old laptops should be used exclusively for karaoke nights.
There you go. Yeah.
Need to be able to access the internet with it, stream YouTube karaoke tracks, and have karaoke parties.
I had somebody almost, almost had me convinced that they had exactly what to do with their old phones. And what they were doing was basically just like giving them to their kid, like taking the battery out, of course, and it didn't work anymore. But their kid was just using it with their dolls. So they had a little Barbie had an actual cell phone. Actually, there's an option, I guess.
But that is an option for for your children if they are not to an age yet where you want to get them their own phone. Mm. If you have an old phone that you don't have a plan on, it can still dial 911 because as long as it has a battery charge, when it's still functioning, mm-hmm. it will dial 911 even without a cell phone plan. So they can carry that if they're walking to a friend's house or whatever and have access to, because I know that that's a concern for parents nowadays.
I love that feature. I love that it still has that.
Yeah.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments.
start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
Cloudy with scattered rain and thunderstorms likely today, and there could be some locally heavy rain of a half inch to even up to an inch or more in spots. Our high in the low to mid 70s this afternoon. Rain will end tonight, low of 50 tomorrow, partly cloudy, high in the mid 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Feels like an easy song to write. Feels like you're just looking at a map. You're just writing all warm climates. Melissa.
But yeah, but then the verse comes in and it's just like, yeah.
Oh, it's such a tropical song.
It's the best.
Very well done by them. Proving too, like 4 or 5 decades in, that the Beach Boys could still put out hits and everything. That's always impressive to me. We talk about hacks on this show quite a bit, actually. We have been for a very long time. It's one of those things that I find really fun and interesting about modern times and the way we share information. It used to be stuff that we just handed down from relative to relative or friend to friend. Now it's just strangers and strangers helping out with the hacks and stuff. And I think that it's kind of cool. At the same time, there are a lot of people out there, or a lot of times that things are brought up that are quote hacks, but they're money saving hacks, but they actually aren't. They can actually end up costing you more in the long run. So. Okay. We're going to get into some of these right now and some of the better examples of these that hopefully give you a little heads up. And I don't think that it means that, okay, don't do this. Just take it with one of my favorite terms, grain of salt. and tinkering with it or doing your version of it or what have you. And that could be the case for any of these hacks. Mm-hmm. Driving to the cheaper gas station across town. Unless it is a lot cheaper, you don't have to drive far before it's not worth it anymore. There's a calculator that also factors in what you think your time is worth.
That's a good thought.
The Matthew Miner's crunching calculator. it says when to get gas out of the way, and it says it's all just like a Mad Libs thing. It's would it be worth to go blank miles out of your way to get to 14 gallons of gas, blah, blah, blah.
Ah, so you just plug the numbers in and it'll tell you if it's worth your time. That's cool.
I have to show this to my dad. Oh my God,
yes.
He's going to love this.
Yes, you do.
Oh, that's amazing.
But that's something I think about too. Often I've noticed that gas here in Wood County is usually cheaper than like Portage County.
Mm-hmm.
And not always, but sometimes. So if I'm there and I'm like, I need gas, but I can get back to Wood County, I'm gonna wait
when I lived in
when I get there, because it's not out of my way, it's on my way.
When I lived in Nakusa, I would not get gas on the gas station right outside of town. Any gas station on the outskirt of town or anything like that tended to be higher gas back in the day. I don't know. I haven't really looked into that stuff in modern times. But
And it's really hard to judge necessarily from time to time. Honestly, yeah. I look at Gas Buddy all the time. Granted, I report on it every Monday, and I read their reports and follow that pretty closely now. I never did that before, but it's very interesting.
My papa being a truck driver, I don't know if other truck drivers were like this or not, but he really got it in my head about this stuff. So this is one that my brain just does. Oh, it's cheaper over here than it is here. And not just with gas, but like items. And I can get it here, it's closer. So I'm going to go here and pay maybe a dollar more, but it's cheaper gas. My brain just does that stuff. I don't know.
Well, and like during the Memorial Day weekend, it was like on Sunday, I probably should have gotten gas, but I'm like, yeah, but if I wait 2 more days, it'll probably be cheaper. And it was.
DIY repairs unless you know what you're doing. especially with big projects. And for the love of all that is, do not mess with your lights or electronics unless you
electricity. Yes.
Unless you have a degree. Like I've done this and it paid the price. Please be careful, everybody.
Yes, James, I will call and schedule my oil change. I'll try to do it myself. I have done it myself with help.
No, oil change.
I don't have the tools. I don't have the tools.
Okay, that's different.
The thing that would offset it.
I actually think that I recommend now with a car, anytime you can do stuff like that, I think everybody should learn. But you got to have the right tools. You got to have the right tools.
You got to have the right tools. Yeah. And like you said, your time is worth something.
That too. That too.
It would take me 20 times as long to do it as the professionals.
This one's interesting to me, and I know nothing of this world, but I see commercials for it every day. Meal kit services like HelloFresh. You think you'll order less takeout, but a lot of people still don't cook and just waste half of the food. If you want to cook to save money, find some recipes or go to the store or listen for Melissa's upcoming segment.
Well, like I said, in that article that Laura shared with me, it's the sauces and the spices that really save you money if you want to eat a diverse like takeout menu at home, but you got to be willing to cook.
I think that most of us are accustomed to this one, buying the cheapest option. Sometimes it's fine, but the stuff like shoes and clothes quality tends to last longer. I grew that this is actually something I think you learn when you grow up poor real quick. My parents knew that they could get me one pair of shoes for the year. So I learned real quick. Okay, Converse, Chuck Taylors, those things last. Adidas, those things last. So if you were going to get a name brand, it was because it lasted, not because of the brand name.
Right.
And then you also
learn that buying cheap shoes makes your feet hurt.
Yep.
And then you have to do other things, spend other money to help you get over that.
Yep. Yeah, you're not really saving a lot of money.
Epsom salt is cheap, but you know how many soaks does it take for your feet to get back to where they were before you wore the crappy shoes?
Buying stuff just because it's on sale. If it's something you'd need next week or next month, great. Just don't do it with stuff you might need.
Yeah, I learned that lesson in my early 20s.
Me too.
When I stopped shopping at Walmart.
Yeah. I used to never understand why people bought impulse items until I became an adult.
The only way that I still do that is with food. If it's something that's shelf stable, and yeah, maybe I don't need it today or this week, but I will eventually eat that.
Can you go grocery shopping hungry?
No, I shouldn't.
One of my oldest friends, Will, he loves food and loves cooking and all these things. He refuses to go grocery shopping if he's even a little bit hungry.
Get a snack. I'll go through a drive-thru and grab something.
Him and I took the bus line most places we were going when we lived together in California. And this guy we'd miss the bus because he had to eat a snack before we went out. I cannot tell you how seriously he took this. Yeah.
Well, no, because you will spend too much money in the grocery store if you're hungry. Yeah. Facts.
Speaking of food, growing your own food. Having a garden is great, but it's easy to end up spending more than you would just buying organic. Same applies to raising chickens to save on eggs.
Yeah. It's a time factor, too. That stuff takes so much time.
That's what I would have thought of more than the price part. I think that the price part probably evens out for a lot of people. If not, you are probably saving a bit. But when you factor in the time, that's different. And do you have the time? Can you make the time? All of those things.
Well, and then also, do you have the space? Do you have the land? Do you have the dirt? All of those things matter too.
Yeah. And finally, trying to make something for cheaper than you can buy it.
Yeah.
It's hard to do now that everything's mass produced. But I don't know. Sometimes, even if it does cost more, I think it might be worth it.
Finding something that's used. Versus buying it new.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's always, I am so for buying other people's, I love going to estate sales. This is one place that I go and I buy things that I don't necessarily need, but I might. But they're super cheap.
I'm a fan of it, and I have been since I was a kid, but I love the younger generation and how behind this they have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And for all the reasons, too.
Yeah. I went to an estate sale a couple weeks ago, and I got so much stuff that it just, it brings me joy knowing that I'm utilizing someone else's old things and there's a new life for them.
Yeah, there's it's a cool feeling. It really is. And I encourage more and more people to get in on that and get that feeling. Melissa, as we're wrapping up here in our last minute, I did want to take a second to touch on something. We'll talk about this more as we get closer to it. But you sent over this benefit that is coming up. The Andrew Mueller Memorial Show and Benefit is going to be going on Saturday, June 21st. There's going to be a ton of stuff going on there from 8 to 5:30 at night. They're going to have a vendor set up. You can register and show your vehicle. It's open to the public. There's going to be an awards ceremony. This is all taking place at Golden Sands Speedway. Any chance you can get over there, it's awesome.
And this, yeah, the story behind this is tragic. He lost his life due to anaphylactic shock because first responders didn't have the epinephrine. And so that's what his parents are working towards, getting a state law that they carry it.
It's a really important thing that I hope more and more people are learning about, and I love the vehicle that they are using to do that. This memorial show and benefit is going on again on June 21st over at Golden Sands Speedway. We'll be talking more about it.
Mark it on your calendars.
Mark that calendar down to get that one over the Golden Sands. Love our friends over there. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more show for you.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Health officials in Gaza say at least 27 Palestinians were killed in a third day of violence as they made their way to a food distribution site, and those officials blame Israel. The BBC's Barbara Plett-Usher.
The UN's human rights chief called for a prompt and impartial investigation. He said deadly attacks on distraught civilians were unconscionable and would be a war crime.
Smoke from giant wildfires in Canada is still blowing into the U.S. Meteorologist Rob Marciano.
Air quality is really bad. We've got alerts up from International Falls back through Minneapolis and in through parts of Wisconsin. These will probably stay through tomorrow.
An exit poll in South Korea shows liberal candidate Lee Jae-myung has won a snap presidential election to replace Yoon Suk-yeol, removed from office after he declared a state of military rule. The BBC's Jean McKenzie.
This would be an absolute landslide victory for the candidate who campaigned on one very clear promise, that he would make sure martial law could never happen again.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James.